Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This is Good Humans Podcast with me, Cooper Chapman, chatting to the world's best about the inspiring stories that got them to where they are today. What's going on, you good humans? Thank you so much for tuning in today. If it's your first time here, make sure you go and hit that subscribe button. Hit the like button. Really helps us get our podcast moving up the charts, getting it into more ears. Also, for the month of March, it's Brain Month, and Drink a Rapper is our sponsor, the Brain Drink, and we're doing a special thing for this month. So anyone who posts on their Instagram story a screenshot of their favorite episode, whether it be a guest, the 1%, or 28 and Sober, share it on your Instagram, tag both Drink a Rapper and myself, Cooper Chapman, or Good Humans Pod, and yeah, I'm going to be picking two people each week to send a case of Drink a Rapper to. So I want you guys to get to try out this product. You can go onto their website. You can use code GOODHUMAN for a big 25% off if you want to purchase some, or if you want to try and win some for free, tags on your Instagram story. Brain Drink, neuroscience backed, millions of dollars of clinical studies have gone into it, and yeah, just a really, really special product. So check that out. All right, today's episode is with the Speak and Share boys, Ben and Nath, the legends from down in Mornington Peninsula. I've been following these guys on social media for the last couple of years, and they've been just killing it. I love seeing other young guys getting in the mental health space, trying to start conversations and really just inspire people to think about mental health a little differently and just make it a really open and easy conversation that we all get to talk about. So I was down in Melbourne for some workshops a few weeks back. I caught up with the lads, learned all about their story, why they started Speak and Share. It's a mental health charity. They do very similar to what I do, run workshops at schools. They do amazing content. They've been organizing fun runs and community events where people get to come together and yeah, just speak and share, which is a really important thing we should all be trying to do. So I was pumped to get to chat to these boys. Like I said, I'm super stoked to hopefully connect with them over the next couple of years, do some collabs and yeah, try and spread this mental health message far and wide. So let's jump into today's episode. Welcome to Good Humans Podcast, Ben and Nath from Speak and Share.
How you both going?
Thanks for having us, Cooper. It's good to be here.
A big fan of the show.
Yeah, yeah, I'm pumped to come down and chat to you guys. So I've got Ben and Nathan from Speak and Share. You guys are doing some really cool stuff and I've been watching it kind of from afar for a little bit. Finally today we've caught up in person. We've kind of been connecting on socials a bit, but yeah, it's cool to come down here, check out your guys' little space and get to know a bit more about your guys' stories and what's inspiring you to have a bit of an impact in the mental health, just like myself. So Let's start with Ben.
Yep.
Let's get to know you a little bit, man. So let's rewind back to the start. Actually, I'm going to start something. First thing we're going to start, we're all wearing my gratitude shirt. So
great t-shirt. Jump on the website, get one. Quality material.
Boys love their merch too. Speaking shirts, it's a bit better than my merch. But let's start with you, Ben. What's something you're grateful for today?
Probably for the people I get to meet. Meeting you this morning just before we jumped on the potty, before we started Speak and Share, I wouldn't have thought of even like meeting yourself or the people that we met along the journey. So probably the friends that I'm meeting along this journey and my family as well. Pretty grateful for my family. Lucky to have a good family.
Love that.
Yeah.
Nath?
I'm probably most grateful for like my health at the moment. And there's a few people in our lives that are pretty sick at the moment. So to wake up every day, be able to go for a swim in the morning and live the life that we're living, healthy and happy. I'm grateful for that.
Love that. Great way to start the episode. So
what are you grateful for?
What am I grateful for? Oh, I'm grateful that I get to have these conversations. Like now I'm like, I think I'm like 60 weeks in a row almost of not missing a week of an episode, which to most people they hear that and go, oh, that's for 60 podcast episodes. But you guys obviously running Speak and Share know the importance of conversations. So Just getting to have 81-hour conversations in a year where I haven't been interrupted by a phone and I've actually given people space to listen. I think I've learned a lot from it on just how to listen better, but it's also opened my mind to like the importance of listening to people, but listening with a curious and open mind and trying to pull benefits out of other people's stories. My dad always said to me, it's like good to learn from your own mistakes, but it's better to learn from other people's mistakes. And I think that's what I've been able to do with this podcast. and brought it into my own life. So that's something I'm grateful for. I think about that a lot at the moment. I'm just like, fire, I'm so lucky. But
yeah, it's a great more. You learn so much from interacting with other people, what they've been through. It doesn't matter what age they are. Everyone's been through different things. So you definitely learn a lot.
Absolutely. So I want to get to know your guys' story now because we're on this podcast. So
yeah, absolutely.
I've seen obviously what you guys are up to with Speak and Share. Just started your charity. It's pretty exciting what's on the horizon, but I want to get to know why you guys are the way you are. So let's start with you, Ben. Start where you grew up, what was life like as a kid, family dynamics, and then let's go into high school as well, what life was like as a kid.
Yeah, so pretty similar to Nathan, was born and bred on the Mornington Peninsula where we are at the moment, which is southeast of Melbourne. Pretty lucky with my family upbringing, got an awesome family. Mum and dad are still together. Have three younger siblings, which I love majority of the time. Sometimes they get under the skin, but yeah, my family means everything to me. My mates mean everything to me. Had a pretty good school upbringing, went to good schools, good primary school, good secondary school. Similar to Nate, played a lot of footy growing up, local footy. Was probably my outlet from school when I was struggling. Growing up, probably didn't really know what mental health was, sort of thing. And then the main reason why I started Speak and Share was one of my mates unfortunately took his life during COVID. The three of us were lucky enough to get up to Darwin. It was end of 2020. I was doing my final placement for uni up there, was flying, having the best time of my life. And then, yeah, I got a call from a friend back in Melbourne on the peninsula informing me that one of my best mates had taken his life. So that hit me really hard. Josh was, one of my closest mates and a footy friend, and he had an episode 10 months prior to him taking his life where he had an episode on the Frankston train line, and I was lucky enough to save him and intervene him from doing so. And 11 months later, he unfortunately took his life. So I sort of said enough's enough, and that was pretty eye-opening for me. I didn't really know what mental health or what it was, and as soon as Josh took his life, I was like, shit, this is a real thing and it's affecting people. And yeah, to lose one of your best mates is something that I wouldn't wish upon my worst enemy. So put a line in the sand about 3 months after him taking his life and just said, I need to do something. And yeah, the three of us caught up once we got back home and said, what can we do? And made the Instagram account, put up a few skits to keep people laughing during lockdown, and it's sort of going from there. We're a registered charity now, so we're only about 16, 17 months in, so it's been a wild journey.
No,
we've got some big goals, so that's a bit insight into my story.
You guys are killing it. It's really cool to watch, and it's been really inspiring to see the impact that you guys have already had in the community you've built. I want to rewind a little bit. We got through that very quickly. I want to know what school was like for you. So through high school, sporty, academic, towards the end of school, what were you thinking life was going to look like post-school? Because obviously now you guys are on a very different path. I feel the exact same way we're talking about this walking in.
Yeah.
What did you think post-school was going to look like for you when you were in those last few years of school?
Probably it was year 9. I've always loved my sport growing up, so I wanted to get into the physio side of things, and then probably realised year 10 or 11 I wasn't smart enough to be a physio, and then came to the conclusion that I love talking to people, I love sport, so PE teaching came from that. So I studied teaching exercise science and went down the teaching path, loved teaching, and then the Josh thing happened. I said we got to do something, and then Nathan Mace finished uni a year after me, both teaching as well, and that's where I am today.
Amazing. So we're going to catch up to where we are today very shortly. But Nath, let's get to know your story a bit better. So where did you grow up? What was life like, family dynamics, just to sort of set the scene to the sort of people you guys are today?
Yeah. So growing up on the peninsula, lived a very privileged life growing up with a beautiful, loving family. A lot of holidays, played a lot of footy, a lot of sport, surfing like yourself, and always took my footy like so seriously. So probably for the first 18 years of my life, footy was everything. Probably didn't think about too much other than playing footy, and had a lot of ambitions to try to get to the highest level possible. Then sort of started going through a few things. Really enjoyed school. So I've always been one that's whatever I put my mind to, I'll just completely focus on that, and I'll try to the best that I can, whether that's school, academically, or friendships, and mainly sport though. So then it led to playing a bit of footy in the NT, and a few things happened. That's when my parents split up. So I say, as I was growing up, I was always extremely proud of my parents of being together. Sort of looked at those kids who, the parents split up and they come to school, and always felt so bad for that kid. And that was probably my biggest fear of my family breaking down. Well, I think we were 21 in Darwin, and got a call saying mum and dad were going to split up, and yeah, it sort of led to like a really hard time for myself personally. Started like not enjoying a lot of things that I'd always loved doing, like playing footy. And I went through like a bit of a hard time mentally, and yeah, but then had a bit of a breakdown playing footy, and then had a few mates beside me like Ben and Mace, the other guy that we do Speak and Share with. Had a lot of support around me, and yeah, that led to us forming Speak and Share together. So like that's my story. But as a kid growing up, like Ben, like super privileged, lived a great life, like a lot of holidays and a lot of fun, a lot of outdoors adventures. But,
yeah. This is going to be a bit of a random question, which I'll sort of spring to both of you. Do you feel a bit of, I don't know how to put this, because this is something that I feel, because I'm very lucky too. My family is still together. I've had a great upbringing. Do you feel like it's like this like guilt that you've had such a good opportunity and then to like go and build something? Do you feel like that's a little bit of the reason why you feel like it's important to give back? Because I feel like sometimes, and I talk about it when I do my workshops, I'm like, I'm so lucky, I've had such a great life. But now I feel like it's so important to share the best things that I got out of my upbringing from family life, from working with top level coaches as an athlete, and share that with people who might not have those opportunity and resources growing up.
100%. Nathan, I went to the same school, which is a pretty good school. My girlfriend's a school teacher at the moment, and she teaches at a school which is only half an hour from our school. And some of the stories that she comes home with are pretty full on, like what the kids go through at home. So it definitely inspires and motivates me to make a change. Because, yeah, we are so lucky and pretty keen on giving back to those that don't have the opportunities that we have.
Yeah.
And we're big on, you know, no one's story is, you know, someone might go through something a lot harder, but that doesn't mean that their story is any more important than, you know, that other person's story. Like everyone has a story to share. But yeah, we've met some people that have gone through some pretty hard things, and it amazes you like the journey they've been on and where they are now. So for us, like it probably is hard to not feel guilty of like the life we've lived, but we just want to create change and hopefully help as many people along the way as possible.
Yeah, it's so cool the way you guys are doing it, like opening up conversations, giving people some space to share their story, because I feel like most of us as individuals forget that every single person you meet, if you think back to your whole life that you've been through, the ups and downs, the journeys, the heartbreaks, the wins, the losses, every single person that you walk past on the street has gone through probably as much, if not more, maybe a little bit less as all of us. So it's like once you start to think of it like that, and it's something that I talk about in my workshops is empathy, like respecting other people's feelings and emotions, because we know sometimes how strung up we got over something that a year later we realize how silly it was.
Yeah, absolutely.
People are going through that at that exact moment when they're talking to you sometimes. So it's important to open up that like sort of empathetic mindset.
100%. Yeah. And you can never judge a book by its cover, as cliche as it is. Someone's always going through something or has been through something. So we're just trying to, yeah, provide an environment where people feel comfortable and opening up, and provide a time for people to do it, because in modern day life, it's so fast paced with technology, with work, with footy, surfing, whatever you might be doing, people can just stop for a second and talk about what they've been through, go a long way and helping others.
Yeah, I think like that idea of actually having real conversations, is it just feels like it's getting more and more rare. Like so many of our interactions, especially as young people nowadays, is through devices. And a few years ago, we used to have like internet friends and like real life friends, yeah. Whereas it's kind of like that like blurred line has like disappeared, and it's like anyone who like I'd call you guys mates,
yeah.
And we've only met for the first time about half an hour ago, so it's like it's funny how blurred it's got, but we tend to forget that importance of real connection, like being able to look into somebody's eyes, being able to actually be there with someone, yeah. And I think even like looking into people's eyes and like learning how to communicate in a way that actually connects is getting more and more rare. Yeah. And I speak about it in my workshops as well, the idea that at school we get taught the importance of reading and writing, but we never get taught the importance of speaking and listening.
Yeah.
And there's two things that we do every single day,
yeah.
More than we read and write, but we aren't really taught it. And they're skills. Like you've got to get better at it. And that's why I love what you guys are doing. You're like encouraging people to develop those skills of being able to open up, being able to share, which like most people don't really know how to do that.
And it's been pretty hard with lockdown, obviously. Like Victoria was in lockdown for whatever it was, 2.5, nearly 3 years. And that's the only way kids communicate via Snapchat or whatever they do, their Snapchat streaks, through TikTok, through Instagram. So for them to go from lockdown back to real life where they actually have to engage in a conversation face-to-face, it's pretty hard for some kids. And we've seen it at school last year, doing a bit of relief work. Like some kids really struggle to have a proper conversation face-to-face.
Yeah, I think like probably the best thing that we've seen along like our short journey so far is like providing people with the time and place to just stop and talk and like have this conversation, whether it's a podcast or whether it's through our program, has been the most rewarding thing that we've seen. Like people are dying to talk. Like people want to spill the beans on what's been happening in their life. And yeah, some of the conversations that we've sat on and heard are like pretty amazing. And some of those conversations are conversations that had to happen. Otherwise, I don't know what else would happen, but it gives you goosebumps thinking about it, but it's been pretty cool.
Yeah, amazing. So I want to go to that day now where you find out about your mate taking his life, as much as you want to share, but just sort of the feelings that went through you as a young man having a friend go through that, because it's something that's far too common. There's, I mean, 7-8 suicides, I think it's a day now for men.
Nine
a day and like 7 or 8 a man. So it's like this is happening far too frequently. Imagine like the spider web of people around everyone who's taking their life each day.
Yeah.
Far too frequent. So how was that experience for you? And then, yeah, what was that process for you to grieve, but then also to be like, you know what, I need to do something about this?
Yeah, it was pretty full on. So when he had his accident on the train line where he tried to take his life, I intervened him to stop him from doing so and found him there. And then that was pretty full on. That was like, shit, mental health is a thing and it's affecting people. And then
just quickly on that.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you had the right skills to be able to help him in that? Or do you think that's something that we really miss in the education system, is learning how to effectively communicate with someone who's struggling? Because that's something I find even still really hard. Someone who works in the mental health industry, it's hard to support someone when they're really struggling because we don't really know what to say.
Yeah, I wasn't equipped whatsoever. Obviously, he was one of my better friends and I felt incredibly comfortable around him. But when you're confronted with something like that, I wasn't equipped whatsoever. So that was pretty full on. And then I remember the day before we flew up to Darwin, caught up with Josh. He picked up a bench press, I think it was, from my place. I wanted to get jacked during COVID. And I remember hugging him and promising him that I'd be home, like back to see him sort of thing, and gave him a big hug and held him tight for a couple of minutes and promised him that I'm going to be back, because he was struggling, going through a hard time, obviously, at that stage as well. But yeah, unfortunately that day was never to come. I think it was a Saturday morning, or Friday morning. Can't remember the exact day. It was my mum's birthday. It's pretty early in the morning. I think Darwin's 2 hours behind Melbourne time. And his business partner at the time sent me a text. No, he tried to call me actually. And it was like 5 o'clock in the morning. So I sort of looked at the phone and put it down. And I woke up probably an hour and a half later and said, shit, something's probably going on here. Like, he doesn't usually call me at this time. It was a Friday morning because I was still working. And he called back an hour and a half later and just said, just letting you know, mate, Josh has taken his life. And hearing that obviously hit me like a ton of bricks. As Nath knows and as everyone knows that knows me, my mates mean everything to me. So to have Josh 10 months earlier try and take his life, and then hearing that, I felt like it was all my fault sort of thing. Felt like I shouldn't have gone up north. And it was pretty tough because I had just finished placement like the day before. So I was flying, was on a high. I've done with uni, done with school forever for the rest of my life, hopefully. And then to get that, I was like, shit, what have I done? I was just blaming myself. You read through like text messages after I got the phone to Nath, you read that and then you take the piss saying like, oh, you're not going to reply sort of thing. You'd be like, fuck, was it that moment where he's sort of, gone backwards? I was pacing around the house for probably half the day after I found out, knocking things over. Not an angry person at all, but I was just so confused. I was angry, frustrated, and you start crying and then you stop crying and you get angry again. So it was just a whirlwind of emotion. It was the hardest thing I've been through easily.
For sure. What sort of support did you seek after that? Did you see a psychologist? Did you try and get some help after?
Yeah, look, I didn't seek professional help. I should have, definitely. But obviously being typical males, like, I'll be right sort of thing. I was lucky enough to be living with one of my best friends, Fletch from uni, up there. And he was awesome. And then Nathan Mace were up there at the same time as well. And they came over that day and were a massive support. But I really struggled for probably 3 or 4 months post Josh taking his life. Was pretty fit at the time when we were up in Darwin. And then pretty much as soon as he took his life, I was big on the piss every night until he came back. Was riding myself off every night. Was inactive, stopped running, stopped gymming, put on a bit of weight, was in a really negative mindset. Every morning I'd wake up like, what should I have done differently? Read through the text again, I should have replied to that differently. Just plays in your head 24/7. And then it was probably when Nath reached out, it would have been Feb, which was 3 months later, saying I'm struggling. And I was like, fuck, I'm in the same boat. And it was then when we started to speak and share between each other, where we're like, shit, like, we got to talk about what we're going through, because if you don't, yeah, who knows where I would have ended up. Pretty full on.
Yeah, man, thanks for sharing. And let's talk about your sort of side of that same story, Nath.
Yeah,
when you heard that, so you weren't that good friends with
Nath? No, I didn't know Josh.
Josh.
I knew who he was and knew his older brother, but I didn't know I wasn't a mate of Josh's, but yeah, to hear that, like, I'm bloody getting pretty emotional. Yeah, so man, it's... like, obviously pretty proud of Ben and to be able to share that stuff, like, yeah, thanks, mate.
Yeah, I appreciate that, dude. Nah, it's just so powerful being able to have, like, young men conversations like this, because I'm sure before this happened, you really wouldn't have been able to.
No.
And as much as the heartache hurts and, like, it's just terrible, like, hearing that stuff. But one of the things that I learned, I did, like, my mental health first aid course a couple of years ago, and the lady who did my course, what was her name? I can't think of her name. She was a legend. She went on to say that her... I might butcher this, but either her son or daughter's partner took his own life or her own life. And she was like, and I felt so bad for years that I didn't see it. Like, it was in, she was in high school or something, the partner. And she was like, I didn't see it. But she's like, what I've learned through the profession of psychology is sometimes, like, no matter what you say, no matter what you do, the person's still going to do it. And that's why you have to try and, like, pull away from that guilt. And that sort of, like, what could have I done differently? Like, sometimes it's like, you couldn't do anything.
You just got to stop questioning yourself. Otherwise, you drive yourself insane.
Exactly.
I just got to a stage where I said, it is what it is. What can I do? Just got to move on. Like, just doing proud now every day. So, yeah.
So let's talk about once he reached out to you. You reached out to him saying you were struggling a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
How did that conversation go, and what were you going through, if you're willing to share? That was when your parents
split up. Yeah, so mum and dad decided to split up. And, yeah, as I said, like, I'd always been extremely proud. So I was, yeah, devastated, really. I'd tried to ignore a lot of these emotions for, you know, 2, 3, 4 months. Eventually, like, I did a pretty good job at ignoring, and I was like, all right, I'm up in Darwin with my mates. Like, I'm going to have the time of my life. I'm going to play footy. We're, like, going to go out. We're going to drink piss. And, yeah, just, like, whenever I was alone at night, like, I just found myself, like, crying under the pillow sort of thing. And the boys, like, wanted to talk to me at times, and I said, like, you know, like, I'm all right. Like, I don't want to talk about it. It's just, like, for me, it was a really embarrassing topic.
Mm.
Like, you know, Ben, like, both the boys' parents are still together. They're beautiful families. But for me, it was, like, you know, that had always been my world. So I just felt, like, empty, and I was, like, really confused. And being away from it all, like, I didn't know how to deal with it. One side, I was like, sort of like, all right, I'm going to ignore it. But then I knew I had to go home to it at some stage and face it. So then when I came home to it, I was like, fuck, like, what? Sorry for swearing.
No, you can swear as much as you need.
I was just like, my whole world, it has changed. Like, what I had left is just completely different now. Like, we're living in two different houses now. Like, my sister was struggling with some other stuff as well. So, yeah, I came home and sort of started to wear a fair bit of it. And I just started distancing myself from, like, a few of my mates. And I was playing footy at, like, playing VFL footy, so I was taking it pretty seriously, and got to the point where I was, like, driving around the oval before training, like, thinking about, all right, I'm not going to go to training, I'm going to go home now. Walk into training, and I'd just be like, fuck, like, I just can't be here sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, one day I was playing footy and I drove up to the game with dad, and we were talking about a few things, and, sort of got on the topic of that stuff. And, yeah, I remember I shouldn't have played footy, but I played, and first quarter, I remember someone just said, like, I may have fluffed a kick or something, and someone's like, oh, like, shit kick. And it just fully crushed me. And it wasn't because, like if Ben said, like, shit kick, I wouldn't ever, like, care, but because it was, like, I had so much emotion, like, here, I was ready to just explode sort of thing. So we got to halftime, and I go in the change rooms, and yeah, I was like, I just got it. I wanted to run away pretty much. And all in my head I could think is, I'm never ever playing footy again. Like, I'm never doing, like, the thing that I love ever again. I'm done. Like, I don't want to be here. I was in the chain. I was in the toilet, locked the door, and I was just, like, bawling my eyes out.
Wow.
And then I just, like, threw heaps of water on my head, just, like, pretended I was, like, sweating. And I went and sat with the boys, and I was, like, put on a brave face for the rest of the game. Then driving home, I just, like, completely broke down when I got home. Said, like, yeah, I'm never playing footy again. I took a couple of weeks off footy just because I needed to just look after myself. But then I reached out to a few of the boys, and I just said, like, fuck, let's just go for a walk. Like, and that was the best thing that happened. Like, Ben and Mace, they didn't have an answer really for me, but it was more just being there for me to, like, just download all, like, all my thoughts, things that have been going on. And yeah, we went for a walk. They didn't have to say much. It was more just me getting it off my chest. And that's what we say a lot. Like, when you start talking about it, like, once you get it off your chest, you just feel free. yeah, that was a turning point for me. I felt like I was able to share like a lot of my problems with others.
So once you share a problem, it like halves the load on yourself almost. It's like other people know. It's like, oh.
Well, that's our motto, problem shared is problem halved. So once you open up, you feel so much better.
Yeah.
I think like since starting Speak and Share, we've learned that everyone's going through similar things, whether it's losing a mate or your parents splitting up or losing a job or being financially stressed. Everyone's going through a similar sort of circumstance or has been through. They just don't feel comfortable in talking about it. Mm-hmm. So if we can get the message out that it's okay to talk about how you're feeling and it should be normal, I think it would change a lot of lives.
Yeah, and absolutely. You guys are changing some lives. So yeah, let's speak about Speak and Share. So that walk that you guys went for, it really made you understand and recognize the importance of being able to open up, especially for young men, because it's hard, but it's also like taboo almost. Normally an open up is like go to the pub and like, or a bender, yeah, and you're sitting there at 2 a.m. yeah, and kind of open up, and then it's kind of like, oh, I better not bring that up again now I'm sober.
Yeah.
So opening these conversations sober and making it almost like a cool thing to do, it's like, where does a badge of honor, like hiding your insecurities is almost more of a, I don't know, it's like more of a weakness, I feel like. Yeah. That it's like, it takes courage to be able to share. So yeah, let's talk about that when the idea of Speak and Share came up.
Yeah, yeah. I remember the three of us were at the beach and we just said like, what can we do? Like we'd worked while we were studying at uni as an integration aid. So sort of worked with like disadvantaged kids that were on the spectrum and all that sort of thing. And sort of saw that they were struggling pre-lockdown and then obviously dramatically post-lockdown. And we just come together and said, mental health is obviously a massive thing during like through what we've been through with COVID. Just got brainstorming with names and stuff, and then we're Inspired Unemployed got us through, me personally, Inspired got me through lockdown, their skits and stuff. And we're like, oh, let's just make an Instagram account. Let's make some funny videos and put a message behind it in regards to mental health. Got a logo developed. Remember we put the logo up on Instagram, just said three mates. I think one aspiration was the caption.
Yeah.
Had really no idea where we wanted to take it. And that had like 500 shares. It was like something ridiculous on Instagram. And followers just went up from that. And then we made a funny skit video, I think, and that did all right. And then we had the idea of going in my garage and talking about pretty much just what we spoke about, our own stories. And it was pretty emotional. I know I was crying when we were filming that. And we're pretty hesitant in posting that, obviously coming from footy backgrounds. So like the footy boys will probably judge us or probably rip into us sort of thing. We just said, let's just get it up there, see how it goes. And that got like an amazing reception on the socials. And that was probably the point in time where we got together again and said, you know, let's do something with this. Let's try and change the world in regards to mental health. So it's sort of just grown from there, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, starting at early days, we didn't really know like what it was going to become. And I guess still to this day, like it's hard to...
Oh, it's constantly evolving.
It's hard to imagine what Speak and Share is in 5 to 10 years. But we just knew that we wanted to help, and we wanted to help our community because we could see that, you know, some school students were struggling and like our mates were struggling and the wider community was struggling.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was just very much an idea, and we knew that what we wanted to sort of achieve in helping people, and we knew that we wanted to facilitate conversations for people to start speaking and sharing. But yeah, it was very much guided by the community. So throwing it out there on Instagram, sharing our stories, like as Ben says, sharing that garage story was like probably one of the most frightening things we've ever done.
Yeah.
But it just gave us a lot of courage to just stop and think that, you know, people are supportive and people might need more of this. So if I can share my story about my parents splitting up and how it bothered me and then how I dealt with it, hopefully there's a kid out there who can relate to that, who's going through a similar thing, or same with Ben and Mason's story. So yeah.
I think we're still driven by our community as well. Like we don't want it to be about us at all. We want it to be about the community. So we're pretty interactive on the socials, try and get feedback, whether it's what color hoodie should we do, what event should we do. We try and make it about what people want instead of what we think people want.
Yeah,
let's talk about that initial progression. Like you guys are doing such a good job with building a community. That's what really inspired me to send down some socks to try and like get involved, because
Elite
really,
socks, by the way.
They're good socks.
Aren't they? Actually,
give me a pair, bro. He rolled them all.
I put a game out of the running club, one of the running clubs, and the boys were up in Darwin playing footy, and I kept about 6 pairs for myself. They're elite.
You're gonna have to hook me up, dude.
I'll get you some more. Yeah, the merch is something that obviously you guys, and we were talking about this when we had a coffee before, that is obviously a big driver of your guys' organization. That was kind of one of the first things that really, I guess you'd probably call it as well, put you guys on the map and created this community.
Yeah.
Where did the idea around your merch and what's the meaning behind your guys' merch?
Yeah, so with the merch, like we said, we don't want to, like, we're not a brand. So we didn't say we would want to be a brand that just sells merchandise for the point of making money.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot that sell merch and they're like, we're a mental health brand and we donate 10% of our profits. But it's like, yeah, you raised your price by 15% and donate 10% of profits.
Yeah. Not really. We want to be as transparent as possible.
Yeah, exactly.
So we wanted to create a hoodie or a hat that has a story behind it or has a message behind it. So if I give you an example, we did a hoodie for one of my close mates and he was my strength and conditioning coach at footy called Chris Ross. And sadly, Chris was diagnosed with MND probably almost close to 2 years ago now. And it's a really hard thing to talk about. But I spoke to Chris and said, like, mate, you have an incredible story. And he's been super vulnerable, sharing it on the socials, sharing like his journey day by day. And like, Chris is really struggling. But we said, like, you have a lot of power in your story. So I asked him, can we share your story and we'll dedicate a hoodie to you. We want to get this out in the public. That was probably the most special one for me. So we dedicated a hoodie to Chris. We called it the Rossi Drop. Chris was a Carlton fan. He's a Carlton fan. So we went into Carlton and we got the support of the Carlton Footy Club.
Really cool, that video.
So just doing stuff like that. So like if we look at this year, we got like a lot of stories lined up that are going to be really powerful because we want the person who buys the hoodie to walk down the street knowing the story, knowing the message behind it and wearing it with pride. So obviously each story has a different meaning.
Yeah.
That's where we're coming out with our merchandise.
No, I love that. It's so cool. Like always having like a video with it, why the colors and what they are.
Yeah.
The story behind it, I think it's kind of the future of merch, like not merch, but the future of like wearing something that means something. Like this is what I was saying to you guys downstairs. Like you get people to go and spend $600 on a Balenciaga shirt so they can wear it out. So people can be like, ooh, they must be able to afford a Balenciaga shirt. Or you can wear something that you wear proudly and someone goes, oh, what's that? And you go, oh, it's the story of this guy and like inspires and builds positivity in the community rather than lowering vibration by buying something because somebody else can't afford it. It's like,
I think particularly in Melbourne now, like everyone's supporting local brands as well. Like no one really wears, I haven't seen anyone wear a Balenciaga t-shirt down here, but everyone's wearing like Speak Share, Push Pull, Merch and Mercher. Everyone wants to give back to people that are putting meaning behind their garment, which is really special.
Or like it's creating meaning and just building a community. So like
if people want to feel a part of something, I think.
The coolest message I think we've received is like, you know, I was wearing my Speak and Share hoodie and I was walking down the street and I met like this old guy and he stopped and asked me like what Speak and Share was. And then we had like this wicked conversation about mental health. And like to get a message like that, it's like, wow, like that's cool. Or if you know, someone says like I was out and someone else was wearing a Speak and Share hoodie and we started talking, like to facilitate a conversation like that. Like if we talk about your t-shirt, like what are you grateful for on the back? As you said, like, you know, it just stops and makes people question and talk about stuff. So I think there's a lot of power in that moving forward as well.
Yeah, I think the way that, we can like inspire people is in like such a broad spectrum that merch is just a great way. It's like, for instance, like my gratitude shirt, it's like I get messages every day that people are like, oh, somebody stopped me and told me they were grateful for it. It's like there's like a little ripple that grows.
How cool is that?
Like, it's so cool. Like, and I'll tell you the story. So my first shirts that I did were Be Kind to Your Mind. It's like kind of my slogan for the Good Human Factory.
Yeah.
And I put them on a shirt. I've told the story a few times on the podcast, but you guys are like this. So I was like, all right, I'm going to do like 100 of these shirts. And I did 100. I got my first box of them. And I was going to the snow that day and I hadn't posted anything on social or anything. I was just wearing it as a sample. And I went to the snow and we stopped at McDonald's at Goulburn, like on the way to the snow. I was with my friend Alex Hayes and a filmer. We're going to shoot some content. And
what's your go-to at Macca's?
Oh, I haven't had Macca's this year. I'm trying to be good. My go-to used to be a crispy chicken wrap.
Yeah,
I
like it.
No, keep on track, bro.
I'm a fake, like, healthy Macca's guy. When I used to go, they're like, oh, I'll just get the crispy wrap. The grilled wrap and I feel real hot.
Sorry for interrupting.
No, that's fine. So we get to Macca's and I'm sitting there in this black Be Kind to Your Mind shirt, just mind our own business, having lunch quickly. And this old guy comes over to me and he's like, oh, like my son noticed you and like your friend Alex, like he said, you guys are like big on blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, no way, that's really cool. And then he's like, oh, where's your shirt from? And I'd like literally never promoted it. Like no one knew that they were even mine. And I was like, oh, they're actually mine. This is the first day I've ever worn one. And he's like, I just wanted to let you know that I've really struggled with my mental health and I really needed to read that message today to remind me to be a bit kinder to myself. So thank you. And I was just like, the first day that I ever wore it. I've never had a message again like that in person from someone, but like the first day I was like, I'm pretty believing in like the universe and stuff. And that was when I was like, all right, I'm onto something with this merch. Like, I've already made the impact that I needed to make. If I sell 1,000 more and don't get that message, like, it's done its job in one person.
That's huge. That's so cool. All you need to do is, like, impact one person, you've done your job.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, like, we get, like, a lot of messages like that each day, and, like, yeah, it all makes it worthwhile.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty special, isn't it?
Yeah. So the next part that you guys obviously do really well is, like, your community that you've built, obviously, through the merch and people buying and supporting, but then also... Yeah, is Speak and Run? No, Speak.
Sweat and Share.
Yeah, so we ran a movement.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, ran a movement club last year, which worked towards our fun run, which we had on the 4th of December last year. We just wanted to provide people with, like, an environment where they can come down and connect with others. A lot of people aren't involved in sporting clubs, and sporting clubs are a place where people spend so much of their time and feel like a home away from home. So we wanted to put on a fun run or a weekly run where people can come down and get active, meet people at the same time. Ran that for about 8 weeks, and then had the fun run where we had, I think, 460-something runners, which was crazy.
Wow.
So we'll plan that again for this year when the weather starts getting better towards the back end of the year. We just want to impact as many people as possible, whether that's through being active or through our other community workshops. We just want to, impact as many people as possible.
Yeah, I love
it. Yeah, I mean, with Speak and Share, like, all we ever wanted to create was, like, a community of people who were willing to speak and share, and that could lean on each other in times of, you know, toughness, or to see that community grow each day, and hopefully it continues to grow, it's probably, like, one of the things that we're most proud of. You know, I think we get messages sometimes of people saying, hey, I didn't know this person, and then I saw a Speak and Share top, and, you know, instantly they're part of a community, so that facilitates a conversation, which might lead to a friendship. So, you know, people come into our workshops or our community events, and then hopefully that forms a relationship and a friendship outside of the Speak and Share community.
Yeah,
it puts a massive smile on your face when you think about it.
It's so cool. So let's talk about the charity route that you guys have gone. When did you guys get to the point where you're like, all right, this is starting to grow to a place that maybe we should turn it into, like, I don't want to say a legitimate organization, but you know what I mean? Once you either get charity status, or, I mean, I guess I've got to the point where it's grown to a business that has a reputation.
Yeah.
Where did you guys go, you know, well, let's turn it into a charity so we can fundraise and really start making a big impact?
It was pretty early on. Shout out to Sammy, our first employee. He'll probably listen to this at some stage. He bought a hoodie. I think it was one of our first drops.
Yep.
And his mum asked Sammy, like, why are you buying the hoodie sort of thing? What's the meaning behind it? And then she reached out, and it sort of grew from there. She's now on our board. Shout out to Beck. She's a legend. And then she introduced us to someone else, and sort of just grew from there. That would have been, I reckon, only 8 months into us starting Speak and Share. And then to get the charity status would have taken
6 months.
Yeah, at least 6 months. It was a pretty decent journey that we went on. A lot of paperwork, a lot of questionnaires and all that sort of thing. But it was pretty early on that it started, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, personally for me, like, one of my dreams was always to start a charity. So then to do it with, like, a couple of your best mates is, like, you know, it's a dream come true. But we were introduced to, a few people along the way that became on our board and very much guided us with our business structure. And then we obviously had the discussion whether we want to be a business or a charity. And for where we hope to go and where we hope to take Speak and Share, we thought that the charity path would be the best direction for us. And it's opened up a lot of doors. Like, early on, we really struggled with funding. Now that we're a charity, a lot of people are starting to do fundraisers for us, which helping facilitate our programs. And we hope one day that, you know, if we can land some serious funding, then we won't have to charge anyone a fee for our programs. We'd love to deliver our programs all across Australia free of charge. That's a dream of ours one day. Obviously, that looks like a lot of facilitators and a bigger team behind Speak and Share. But that's where we're heading, hopefully. Yeah.
No, you guys are on your way to some amazing stuff. It's, like, crazy what you guys have achieved in such a short amount of time. But there is, I can imagine you guys have got a long way to go. So let's talk about your programs. When did you, obviously you guys are both school teachers by trade.
Yep.
You would have strayed away when you started, I'm guessing, being like, going into schools has got to be, like, a priority of ours. We know how to communicate with students. We understand the system of school, because that's something I truly struggled with getting my foot in the door, was being able to communicate with teachers, but also having the credibility to get your foot in the door at schools can be quite difficult.
Yeah.
So what does your guys' program look like? Because everyone who listens to my podcast has a bit of an idea the way that I talk about mental health, but I think it's important that we do have these conversations. And we said this off air, like, there's so many organizations in the industry now that almost feel like they're in competition. And I was lucky enough to do some stuff with Hugh Van Collenberg, who you guys are trying to connect with. Hugh, if you're listening, make sure you connect with the boys.
Come on,
Hugh,
reply to our DM.
Reply to the DM.
No, we're small fish at the moment.
No, no, you guys are going truly on your way. So when you decided to do your programs, what is like the angle? So elevator pitch, if I say to you, what's your program look like?
Yeah, I mean,
why would she book you to come and speak at our school?
Yeah, firstly, there's like, as you're doing, like there's so many awesome programs out there. And the angle that we've taken is we just want to facilitate an opportunity or a time and place for students or sporting players or employees to stop and be able to have this conversation. So it's very much working through a list of questions that prompt these conversations. The questions that we prompt, you know, they differ. So some are like a bit of an icebreaker, like more friendly question. Then we explore like, what are you most proud of? What are the hardest things you've been through? How have you overcome these? How are you looking after your mental health? What are you most grateful for? So it's very much, yeah, prompting people to sit down and take the time to facilitate these conversations. Because as Ben said earlier, like the world's such a fast paced environment. When do you ever get to sit down? Like who else is able to sit down on a podcast and actually have an hour long conversation? So if we can provide that opportunity for a student for 30 minutes and guide them through that, that's what we're hoping to achieve.
So how long are your programs? If you come into a school, do you guys do like a school period and you like break students up to connect with one-on-one with people?
Yeah, so it's roughly 90 minutes the program goes for. Obviously you have to be pretty flexible with school. Some periods, schools are an hour, some give 45. The three of us also share our stories and sort of what we've been through personally, which sort of sets the scene. I feel like if we didn't sort of talk about what we've been through and show our vulnerabilities, the kids or students or work people wouldn't buy into it. So we sort of set the scene and create an environment where people feel comfortable in sharing. Roughly 90 minutes the session goes for.
Yeah, 90 minutes, which includes like a few icebreaker activities. So we just want it to be as hands-on as possible, because if we think back to when we were at school, we never really had anyone come in and run a program where it was hands-on, where we were like connecting with our peers. It was very much that, you know, maybe that ex-AFL player who was like 50, 60. And has
that lived. Ex-surfer coming up and standing on stage in front of you for ages.
So you're still young. So, we say like, we remember the old crusty dude coming in and telling us about his life. It's like, it just didn't connect with us. Like,
not relatable.
I'd connect with you because like we're a similar age and like you're a surfer. I've got a passion for surfing and stuff. So I think one of the strengths of us is that we are 24-year-old males. We're bringing on a couple females at the moment, so that'll provide more of a female voice. But we said, you know, we're not dissimilar to the students that we're trying to pitch at and we're trying to connect with. So eventually, like, we say to each other, like, maybe in 3-4 years' time, we might be outdated and we might need to bring in the next generation of facilitators.
He's trying to dig it.
He's got a baby face.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, so... We don't want to get to a point where, our story isn't like connecting with students, because the next crop of young males and young females are going to come through and have that story to share, which will hopefully influence the next generation.
We just want the session to be like as engaging as possible as well. Like we've got music going, we'll have Drake going, whatever the kids are doing on TikTok, all that sort of stuff, where the kids walk out and go, shit, that was pretty cool. I remember being at school, you'd walk out of a session from a guy that played whatever it was, 3 games from Fitzroy in the 1970s. And you're like, forget about it 60 minutes later. But if the kids can walk out of ours and go, you know, that was cool. I actually want to talk about my mental health and make it a normal thing and a cool thing for people to talk about.
And feel a part of sign, eh? Like feel a part of our community. We want to invite as many people in as possible.
Yeah.
It's so cool. Like I love that angle that you guys have taken. And I love that, I'd love for you guys to come see my workshop one day, because it'd be cool to.
Yeah, 100%.
And I want to come watch you. I want to come be involved in one of your guys' workshops. I feel like, I mean, I'm very lucky. I do have a great group of mates, like that we're always very open with each other. But talking to strangers and being able to open up is like, it's an art. It's something that is quite difficult, and some people find it almost impossible. So
remember the first session we went to?
Oh, bro.
Let's go.
We'll just start with, we were absolutely shitting ourselves.
Yeah, well, I think we're doing relief work when we first started. So we worked the whole day at school, teaching PE the whole day. I think it was during summer. So it would have been like 35 degrees in the gym playing dodgeball for 6 periods with year sevens. Crazy. So we're gassed at that stage. Then we had to rock up to this cricket club at like 6:30 p.m. We're already knackered. So it was Nathan and I. We walked in. like an older bunch of guys covered in tats, like all of like
bikies. Just backtrack. We didn't just walk in. We sat in the car for like 45 minutes, like just saying these guys aren't going to listen to us. There's no.
How'd you organize a booking? Let's backtrack
even. They reached out.
They reached out to us. Yeah. That was like the first win, but we were sitting in the car like there is no way they're going to listen to us. Like we are just three young guys. Anyway, we got in. Like there was a few tats going around and stuff, and. Yeah, I don't think we're not the scariest looking dude. So we were standing at the front shaking.
Yeah.
But yeah, the session went so well. Like we had some like crazy conversations with people, which I actually sat on a group of some of the coaches and this player, and the player actually opened up saying that he'd been struggling, and he was like new to the club. So the coaches had no idea that he'd been struggling. What led from that conversation was really powerful. But we walked out of there, with our chest out, and we felt like amazing. We said like, all right, this actually does work. Like, you know, even though we are young and, you know, we doubted ourselves, there's an opportunity for us to help make a difference.
Yeah. It's still scary though. Like I still get nervous every time we present. Do you get nervous?
Yes and no. It'll dissipate a bit.
Yeah.
Yours and guys is different though, because what I do, I'm that guy that just stands at the front and shares for kind of 40. I mean, I do have a few interactive exercises, but I was telling you guys this before we had coffee, like, because I'm not a psychologist, I find it quite, not intimidating, but opening up those conversations, I understand and know where they can go sometimes.
Yeah.
And like we spoke off air, it's something that you guys are not worried about, but something that you guys are also aware of. Like people do get to that real poor end of the mental illness spectrum and need clinical help. So it's like trying to find that balance. So for me, because I've presented basically my workshop well and truly over 100 times now, I kind of just enjoy it. I know like I can get up, like I've got one, I'll go straight from here and do one. Like with now I'll do like zero prep. Like I just literally like open my computer, click play on my presentation, and I can just freestyle my hour and just know my structure. So it's like, I don't really get that nervous anymore. But I think the reason why I don't get nervous is because I'm just so passionate. I'm like, if I get up there and give it my best and nobody gets anything out of it, I've done my best anyway. Why do I have to like, but yeah, it is hard. Like public speaking, some of it's more fear than death, but I've got to, it's weird. I don't feel much fear at all anymore. I'm just kind of like, well, I'm here. I've got to do it. There's no point in doing it scared. Like the best quote that I ever like come across that I like try and live by is the act of confidence comes before the feeling of confidence.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if I just act like I'm confident, the kids think I'm confident. And then eventually I start feeling confident because I'm here doing it.
That's cool.
Yeah. It comes. But so what's the future looking like for you guys? You've started your programs, have kind of just started to roll out,
How
many did you end up doing last year?
We trialed our sporting club program maybe 10 times.
Yeah.
And developed our school program. We did a bit of stuff with some workplaces and start businesses. But we just had a kind of fair feature, which has led to some like pretty big exposure. So I think we had like 1,000 messages on the DMs and like contacts from all across Australia asking about our program. So Ben and Mace have been working hard, sorting through all of them. And
good on you.
At the moment, like we haven't delivered our school program too much. So, you know, it's very much, well, actually, I think you guys are booked out March, April.
Yeah, we've got a big June. March thing. There's over 1,500 kids. So straight into it in a couple of weeks, which is good.
How many schools?
It's only like 2 schools.
Okay.
So it's like year 8s, year 9s, year 10s.
What do you limit? Do you limit like your group size?
80 a session.
Okay.
Yeah. We could do more, but kids don't really like buy into it when it's a massive group.
Yeah. We don't want any kid to feel like missed. So
Which is hard. Like I do exercises where sometimes I'll do 500. Like yesterday I did a group of 500 and then a group of 400.
Yeah.
But then I do small group too. But it is hard to like, and it's so painful when you go, all right, everyone buddy up. And then you end up with like a couple that is like, it's like heartbreaking watching like the school ecosystem of like.
Yeah, the hierarchy.
Yeah, the hierarchy. It's like.
Yeah.
And it's sad because I remember it. I was part of it. So it's like, it's very hard to like, it's like, oh, why wasn't I that kid that would include that kid? Like now I would, but I wasn't back then. So it's how do you inspire those kids to feel how you do now?
Yeah, 100%. So the school programs are probably the biggest one this year. Sporting club program and then workplace program. And then we'll have the movement club towards the back end of the year, the fun run again. Started planning a pop-up for winter this year, which we'll do down this way on the peninsula. So and then
marketing campaigns, like we're going to go all in with our messaging this year.
Amazing.
In terms of like our hoodies and stuff. So
yeah,
there's going to be a lot of power and substance behind those, which super excited for.
Yeah. And then 5 years from now, hopefully facilitators all over the country. We've got 3 that have started off a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, we just want our message to spread across the country and impact as many people as possible.
Yeah, I think it will. How did the current affair thing come about?
Yeah, they just reached out to us. Which, if we're completely honest, like, we didn't think too many people watch Current Affair, but apparently a lot of people do. Which is sweet. Yeah, so that was a real big step for us, and we definitely need that, especially this early on in the year. Yeah, so as I said, didn't think too many people watched it, but yeah, a lot of people do, which is cool. So
yeah, like media here is like so important. I did like a little thing with Studio 10. I don't think Studio 10 gets as many viewers as a Current Affair, but definitely a few opportunities came from it. I'm actually, it's funny, I'm learning you, like, I mean, you guys, you know, got lucky. You guys are doing amazing stuff, and obviously somebody heard about it and blah, blah, blah. Whereas I'm like learning, if you want like media, you kind of have to go after it yourself. Like, I've got a PR chick that's like putting together a press release right now to like spread out to like say like, hey, Cooper's ready to do stories if you want. But anyone's listening.
Yeah, you guys too, make sure you get these guys.
That's what we've learned. Like, networking is such a big thing now. Yeah, in the lives of us these days. Like, so, you know, being on the podcast, hopefully we're introduced to some of your network, and then hopefully us sharing this, it introduces you to a lot of our network. So,
and we all have different angles, and that's the thing. Like, mental health is such a massive spectrum. Like, 10 kids in a room might really appreciate my style of teaching, from being inspired to take action themselves. But then the other half of the room might be like, oh, no, I'm more of a connecting, like, communicate with people. Like, that's how some people are inspired to make change themselves. They need to have that conversation. So I think there's so much room for all of us, and there is quite a bit of competition in the space, especially on the charity side, because when funding comes in, it's like, there's this funding, and it's like, you get it or you get it. So it's like,
we all just need to work together. We're all working towards the same goal. Like, let's just get together and change the world.
Exactly. That's why it's so cool to be able to connect with you guys, and hopefully do some cool stuff together. Like we're saying, we might try to do a hoodie and donate all of it with you guys, and like,
I see a collabing coming for sure.
We'll do something sick together. Stay tuned. Speak and share. But so what is the next 12 months looking like for you guys? Strictly, well, mainly the focus is the workshops, growing that out, and then just build an empire.
Yeah, build the team. So we had Sammy, who's a younger fella, started 2 weeks ago. He's just doing like an admin support sort of role, trying to upskill him in as many areas as possible. Then we've 3 facilitators that we brought on already a couple of weeks ago as well. You can only achieve so much with just the 3 of us. So pretty keen to grow the team, like, quickly and impact as many schools as possible.
We're going to roll out an ambassador program. So hopefully get some young kids coming in, helping out, spreading the message as much as possible. I don't know. Like, when you think about the next 12 months, it's hard to imagine. Like, something pops up every day. So, we want to get our own potty going to start sharing people's stories, school programs, sorting out programs. Yeah, it's pretty chaotic. Like, to be honest, this year we felt like under the pump at times, but we're just trying to navigate through this new life. But it's really cool.
One day at a time.
It's so cool. I see so much, like, so many similarities. Like, I'd maybe call myself like 6 months ahead of your guys' story. Obviously different charity business, but same realm of stuff. I'm just like wanting to help people. It's so inspiring being around other young guys, especially you guys being a few years younger than me, to understand the impact that you're trying to have, but understanding that it's coming from a really strong why with your story, and your story having two very different difficult times. But both of them being able to marry together and be like, wait, we all have difficult times. How can we best sort of facilitate conversations so that people know that? Because we feel so alone when we're going through something like that. That is really challenging. You're like, oh, like, I don't need to bugger anyone else with my hard times. It's like, no, people need that.
And you feel so good talking about what you're going through. It's like a free counseling session talking to a mate. It does a world of good.
And for most of us, like, talking to a mate is just as beneficial, if not more, than a psychologist, because they kind of understand it. It's like,
yeah, well, you get that ongoing support, don't you? So, like, I know if I told Ben something that I'm going through, I know in 2 days' time he's going to come checking on me. Where, like, a psychologist, you got to book in to go see them, mate. Like,
Yeah, exactly. No, it's amazing what you guys are doing. I can't wait to watch the rest of the journey. I feel like it's, like, literally just the start of some really amazing stuff. So you guys should be super proud. It's been bloody epic getting to know the story. I feel like this is just the start of a really cool friendship and relationship between us, and hopefully be able to collaborate and mold the two of our sort of journeys together and make some impact together along the way. So it's going to be really fun. But the last question I do finish all of my Good Humans podcast with is the same question, so I'm going to ask you individually.
I think I know what this question is. I've been researching.
So the question is, what does being a good human mean to Ben?
To me? You go first, because you've already got your answer.
All right, I'll go Nath first. What does being a good human
mean? So I saw this on TikTok and I was just doing my research. I personally think this is a hard question to answer.
Because, it changes.
Yeah, so. Like Ben's version of being a good human, like there's so many different versions of being a good human.
I've asked 90 people and every answer's been different, so don't worry.
Yeah, but my I feel like a good human when I'm contributing to my community and helping others. So whether that's my girlfriend or my friends. So serving others, fills joy in myself and makes me feel like a good human.
Beautiful. Ben?
Good answer. Mine's caring for others.
That's the same as me.
It's different. Caring, whether it's like at school, like looking after a student that's fallen over or going out of your way, I try and do it at least once a day to look after someone else. If everyone did that once a day each across the whole world, the world would be a better place. And mine's fully caring.
Nice, bro.
Yeah. That was a good answer.
What would I say?
I mean, mine changes all the time. I think for me, being a good human is someone who has self-awareness, understands that their actions, words, thoughts have consequences. So once you can build that awareness and realize, well, the sort of energy, the kindness I put out, the empathy I put out towards people, the gratitude I put into the world does have meaning.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think once you can understand that, that's what being a good human is, when you're aware rather than just aimlessly drifting through life. So,
yeah.
Because then you can understand that you can go and help people, you can care for people, and it does have an impact. So,
yeah.
I think that's today what I'd say. But it changes every day. Like I said, I ask everyone that question and the answer's always been different. So, yeah, that's my little answer for today. But, boys, thank you so much for coming on. It's been great to catch up. I'd love to have you both back on individually and really get to know the story a bit longer. But the impact you guys are already having but going to continue to have is really special, and it's great to be able to connect. So thanks for coming on Good Humans, boys.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for starting something special.
Legends.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.